理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 19. At 6 o'clock the next morning, Tuesday, June 30th, we continued our journey into the earth. We were still following the passage until 17 minutes past noon.
Ah, my uncle exclaimed, we've come to the end of the passageway.
I looked around to see that there were now 2 passageways we could take. Which one should we take? It was a difficult decision. My uncle, however, decided we should go into the eastern passage, and we were soon inside it. My uncle had to guess, as there was no reason for choosing one or the other. The downward walk was still gentle, the temperature was still bearable. As we walked, I often thought of how unbearably hot that passage must have been as lava went through on its way to Sneffels, where it would burst out the top. Now, however, it was so calm and quiet. I only hope, I thought, that the old volcano doesn't decide to awake again after all this time. I didn't tell my uncle about my fears. He wouldn't have understood them. He only had one idea, to keep going forward. He was determined to continue. By 6 o'clock in the evening, after a day of walking that hadn't been too difficult, we had gone 5 miles south, but only a quarter of a mile down towards the center of the earth. My uncle decided that we would stop to sleep. We ate without talking, then went to sleep without thinking too much. We woke up the next morning ready to continue on our journey. We continued to follow the same path, although I noticed that at 10 in the morning, our path began going upward. The walk became so tiring that I had to walk slower.
"What's wrong, Axel?" the professor asked impatiently.
"What's wrong is that I'm tired," I answered.
"What? You're tired after 3 hours of walking on such an easy path?"
"It's not that easy. It's tiring."
"Tiring? When all we have to do is go down."
"Go down?
I believe we're going up."
"Up," my uncle said. "That's right. The path changed half an hour ago, and I believe we'll soon come back to the surface of Iceland." The professor still could not believe me. My uncle said nothing more, and we began walking again. I was determined to walk faster with my uncle and Hans, our fearless leader. Although walking upward was more difficult, I was content that we were getting closer to the surface of the earth. I decided that I must walk quickly to stay with Hans and my uncle, as I greatly feared being alone in that frightening passageway. At noon, I noticed that the rock that covered the walls was no longer lava, but a rock type that was found in England in ancient times, during a time when the first plants and animals appeared on Earth. I mentioned my discovery to my uncle, who didn't seem to share my excitement. Perhaps he was upset that he had chosen the Eastern Passage, or was he determined to explore the passageway farther? It was clear that this path would not take us into the earth, but would only take us closer to the earth. Perhaps, however, I was wrong myself. If I'm right, I thought, I'll find some ancient plants that will show my uncle that I'm correct. I'll keep looking. I had walked another 100 steps when I found such a plant. I had stepped on dried pieces of an ancient plant. Professor Lidenbrock would, of course, recognize them. He refused to look at the plant, however, continuing on his journey through the passage. I could not bear this any longer. I picked up the remains of an animal that lived on the earth thousands of years ago. "Look at this," I said to my uncle.
"Well," he said, "it's the remains of an ancient animal that lived thousands of years ago. That's all."
"Doesn't it mean that we..."
"Yes. Perhaps I've chosen the wrong passage. and we're going back up to the surface of the Earth. But I won't be sure I made a mistake till I reach the end of this passage.
You're right, Uncle. I would agree with you if we weren't running out of water.
Well, then, Axel, we'll have to drink less water. We must be careful about saving the water.
Chapter 20. We did, indeed, have to save our water. Our water couldn't last more than 3 days, as I realized that evening at supper. We had very little hope of finding an underground river in that area. All throughout the next day, we continued to walk up that passage. My uncle and I spoke very little. Hans said nothing. We continued in this way for quite some time. My uncle was waiting for one of two things to happen. Either we would come to a vertical path that would take us down again into the earth, or we would come to the end of the passageway, which would force us to go back. We went on till evening without finding either. On Friday, after a night of terrible thirst, we again continued on our walk through the passage. After 10 hours of walking, I noticed the walls had changed from the weak stones and sand to a black material. I put my hand up to the wall, then noticed that my hand was now black. I looked closely at the wall and discovered that we were surrounded by coal. "A coal mine!" I exclaimed.
"A mine without human miners," my uncle said.
"Oh, no miners?"
"I know there are no miners. I'm certain that humans didn't make this passage through coal, but I don't really care whether nature made it or humans. Let's eat dinner."
Hans prepared the food. I ate very little, but I drank the little water I was allowed to drink. Hans's bottle was half full. That was all the water we had left. After our meal, we all settled in to go to sleep. But I couldn't sleep, and so I waited till the morning came. On Saturday at 6 o'clock, we left. 20 minutes later, we came to a cave that could not have been man-made. If it had been, the ceiling would have been straight. It was the mysteries of nature that kept the ceiling up. The cave was about 100 feet wide and 150 feet high. Looking at the walls, I could see different periods during the Earth's development. In the walls, I saw the different layers of rock and sand that were pressed together to produce the coal. During this time, the surface of the earth was covered in plant life because the center of the earth at that time was so hot that it warmed the surface. Because of the heat, the air was thick and wet, which surrounded the earth, which kept the surface of the earth from receiving any sunlight. The climate around the earth was the same everywhere, hot and wet. Where did the heat come from? Inside the earth. Although my uncle disagrees with me, I believe there was a great deal of fire deep within the earth during this time, which heated even the surface of the earth. The plants on the surface were covered in water and had no flowers or smells because they did not receive the sun's light. But their roots were strong, fed by the hot earth of that time. During this time, the inside of the earth, filled with a hot liquid, moved around a great deal, which produced changes throughout the rest of the earth as well. With the great movements within the earth, plants that were under the earth's surface changed first into soil, then into coal with the strong heat. Thus, the many coal beds that were under the earth's surface were formed. Although there are many coal beds around the earth, there will be no more within 3 centuries, unless the nations of the world greatly reduce their use of coal. This coal bed will probably never be used by humans, as it is so deep in the earth. Taking coal from such a deep place would be too costly. Besides, there are still other coal beds closer to the surface of the earth. So this coal bed will remain the same until the end of the world. The temperature was still about the same after we passed the lava walls, but then I began to smell a gas that explodes when exposed to fire. I remembered hearing stories of terrible explosions in coal mines because of the exploding gas, always present in coal mines. We were fortunate to bring electric lanterns instead of fire-burning ones. If we had been foolish enough to bring fire-burning lanterns, we would have died in a terrible explosion. We continued through the coal bed till the evening. My uncle was quite impatient with the passage continuing to be horizontal. I was beginning to think we would never come to an end, when, at 6 o'clock, a wall suddenly appeared in front of us. We had come to a dead end.
"Well, this is better," my uncle said. "At least we know where the passage goes. We're not following Saknussemm's way, and now we have to turn back. We'll sleep tonight, and then within 3 days we'll be back to where the other passageway is."
"Yes," I said, "if we have the strength to get there."
"Why shouldn't we?"
"Because by tomorrow we'll be completely out of water."
"And will we have no courage either?"
the professor asked, looking seriously at me. I knew I should say nothing.